Are we ready, Jim? Yep. Jim says we're ready, so we're ready. So let's see. You can turn to Romans chapter 10. I was reading some books the other day, and one of the things that was said in this book, it said, Our attitude toward the word determines the place that God holds in our life. You know, that's very true. What kind of attitude does the word hold in your life? Because if you love God, you have to love his word. And if God's word holds a big place in your life, God will hold a big place in your life. You can say God holds a big place in your life, but if you don't know anything about him, you know, it's just the kind of an amorphous something. It doesn't really have any form or substance. Because many people will say, I believe God, but what does that mean? Not so many people will say, I believe God. And even fewer will actually believe. People lots of times would like to believe, but they don't always believe. All of us at times really want to believe, and at times we fall short. But we determine by our free will and the decisions we make and the commitments we make in our heart to keep that word in our heart and to keep God in our lives. You know, what place that all is in our heart and life. It's very easy to say, I love God with all my being, but then we have to make the commitment and dedicate our lives to live that way. It just doesn't happen. You know, it's not just words. It's like the words on the book, on the pages, are great words, but they're only words unless you actually believe them and determine to live them. That's when they will do you good. In chapter 10, verse 8, it says, chapter 10 of Romans, verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee. The word nigh means near. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith or believing which we preach. The word of faith, it's the word of believing, or really more correctly, the right way of believing, the correct way of believing. Lots of people believe lots of things about God, don't they? A lot of them are wrong, which is kind of amazing when you think about it. People, oh yeah, I believe God, and then they believe that you have to light candles and different things or weird stuff. You know, Hindus believe in all kinds of gods, and they believe that you have to make these pilgrimages and pass through many lifetimes to reach whatever it is you reach. Other people believe other things. Some people believe God as a mean God or a wrathful God. You know, they believe in God, but they don't believe the correct things about him. That's why the word of God is the correct way of believing. It gives us the right way to believe. That's what doctrine is all about. True Christianity is what God's word says about our redemption, about our salvation, about our sonship and about our destiny and about our relationship with our Father God. We become more Christ-like to the measure and the degree that God's word prevails in our life, because Jesus Christ was the word of God incarnate, and the word of God replaces Christ at this time on earth. You know, it's God's word, and it's all about Jesus Christ. The church epistles, you know, it's kind of interesting. I was reading, and the point was made in the Gospels. Jesus Christ taught stuff, but it was all sense knowledge to the people that heard him. They didn't have spirit, did they? So it was Jesus Christ in the flesh that they saw, and the things that he taught really pertained to the flesh, or it went over their heads. And many times he had to re-explain things to the people that really wanted to know. But you don't really see the richness and the fullness of what he was doing until afterward, after he died, was resurrected and ascended, and then God revealed the fullness of it all. And even then, if you don't have spirit, you don't really get it. So what you can get is the need to know it, and then you get born again. It's the word. And that's why it's so important, and it's always God's word. And whether it ever comes to pass in our life or not, still God's word. It tells us what to believe. It tells us how to believe. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 13 is a great verse. And it's Paul speaking to the Thessalonians. And those people, he went there, if you read in Acts, and he was only there for a very, very, very short period of time. A couple of weeks. It says, I think he was there 3 Sabbath days. So that could have entailed between 3 and 4 weeks, or anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks. And depending on when he showed up and when he left, right? And he got chased out because of the Jews came and all this stuff. So he writes back to them. And he says in verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, how did they hear the word? It was spoken, right? They didn't have a written word until he wrote this letter. You know, because this is the first epistle that Paul wrote. And there wasn't a lot of written concerning the New Testament for a while. It took 50, 60 years after Pentecost before it all got written down. So Paul wrote this letter to these people. Before that, all they had was what he had spoken to them, what he had told them. Pretty amazing. Let's go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Verse 20, it says, speaking of Israel in the wilderness, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God sent his word. Well, initially, how did he send his word to Israel? Well, he sent Moses to them and Moses spoke to them. And it wasn't until later on when he received the word on Mount Sinai that they had a written word. And even while he was up there writing it, they were screwing around. You know, but it was a written word, but he sent his word, and the word that he sent when they were healed and delivered from the destructions was by the mouth of Moses. You know, when they were bitten by snakes and dying in the wilderness, God told Moses, okay, put this snake, make a snake of brass and put it on a pole, and when anybody gets bitten, if they look upon the snake in the pole, that, you know, the brass snake, then they'll be healed. Well, that was by word, right? By his mouth, by his speaking, and by his actions. He went and made the brass snake, and then he put it on the pole, and then he gathered Israel, and he said, okay, if you get bit, look at this snake, and you'll be healed, which was a believing action, right? They had to believe that, and when they believed that, that occurred. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. This is a great verse. Chapter 41, verse 10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. What a great promise from God, isn't it? You know, it's kind of cool. I'm glad Dave shared that, and, you know, about his life, and especially with the ticket part, because He freaked out. And we all freak out at times. We all get hit in the face with something we're not expecting. And it, you know, like, wow, I'm in trouble. And that's when we have to grab our minds. That's when we have to put God there. That's when we have to have God's word in our mind and in our heart. And if God's word is not living in your heart, then you grapple for it. You search, you wonder, you know, you don't know what to do. See, but if you have the promises of God in your heart, then you have something to hold on to. Every time my wife and I have ever faced a crisis in the family or personally, we always come up with a verse that's our theme verse for the situation, for the crisis, for the whatever's going on that we hold on to and we repeat and tell each other until we get through it. Just the way it is. You know, it's, that's what we do, and it's worked every time. Let's go to, you know, we rely on God's strength, not our own. He's the one that will uphold us. He's the one that will help us. He's the one that will strengthen us, because that's what he says. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. You know, the key to learning is repetition. And if you read the word, God says many things, or he says things the same way or different ways, but he says the same thing many times. You know, he says he's a God of mercy, and he says it over and over and over. He says he's a God of grace. He says it over and over and over. He says he'll help us in our time of need over and over and over. He says he will supply our needs over and over and over and over. You hear manifestations. He says a lot of the same things over and over and over and over. Why does he do that? So we remember it. So we get it. You know, I bet you remember things, really stupid things, because you hear them so much in your brain. You know, you see the same commercial. I bet every one of you has a favorite commercial that you see on TV that, you know, will stick in your brain, whether you like the product or the service or not. You know, like Geico, they always have wacky commercials, and some of them are really funny, and like they have a new one out with Peter Pan, where Peter Pan goes to a class reunion, and there's a guy there, and he goes, put it there, and the guy goes to slap him, and he pokes him in the stomach, and he turns to the woman next to him, and he goes, I forget her name, Martha, you don't look a day over 70. And then, you know, they do the thing about Peter Pan will always be young. If you're Peter Pan, you're always young. But Geico, you say 15% or something. And then he's singing, I Feel So Young. And he's singing in the reunion. It's really a stupid commercial.
You got to see it.
Yeah. You know, songs. You ever have songs stay in your brain? You know, because they play it over and over and over. You hear it a zillion times. Sometimes you hear a song and you say, I don't like that song. And then you keep playing it on the radio until you like it. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, if that's true, does it matter who's against you? It doesn't, does it? It doesn't matter who's against you. It doesn't matter what the situation is or the circumstance. You know, is any problem bigger than God? Is any enemy stronger than God? No. Is any sickness too much for God to heal? No. Is any bill too high for him that he can't afford to pay it? You know, God is a God that meets all our needs. And if God be for us, who can be against us? What a simple, great truth. Let's go back to Psalms, Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Okay, Psalm 27, Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's a question, but it's a rhetorical question, right? Because who do we have to fear if God is our salvation? Nobody. The Lord is the strength of my life. Now, you know, David said this. This is his psalm. But we need to make God the strength of our lives, right? And the way we do that is by having that word living in our heart and in our life, by keeping that truth there. You're not going to remember every promise of God. You're not going to remember every verse that you've ever read. But you can remember the important truths that God communicates to us. And you can remember certain verses which will help you through life. So the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, if God be for us, who can be against us? Saying something very similar, right? Communicates the same truth. Back to Philippians chapter 4. I go back and forth, Old Testament, New Testament. Just make sure you stay awake. Chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, or I am ready for anything, I am equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength in me. Anything that we have to deal with in life, we can deal with because Jesus Christ, we have Christ in us. We have his strength. We have his promises. And we just look to him. We believe him. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How simple is that? You don't need to have a Greek interlinear. Or a grammar book. You don't need to know figures of speech. You don't need to know anything, just that what the words say. That's all you need. You know? If God be for us, who can be against us? Do I need to know the Greek words for that?
No.
I mean, that really communicates pretty simply, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. The truth of what God will do for us. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You know, you read in the Old Testament, you read these great promises and the great things that God did for them. But when you read them, you have to read them with the New Testament in mind that Jesus Christ died for us, paid the whole price for us. We became children of God when we believed, and God will do even more for us. More has been accomplished for us. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Pretty great. Verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So all need means what?
Everything.
All need. There's none that will be left out. Yeah, I'll meet this need and that need, but not that need. Sometimes we think like that. The other problem we have sometimes is we don't understand the difference between greed and need. You know, sometimes, and you know, sometimes God does meet your greed. I don't know why or how. He doesn't promise it, but sometimes he goes above and beyond, doesn't he? And blesses us. Not that we deserve it, but because he loves us. You know, but he does say he will meet all our needs. Pretty amazing. That is reality. You know, your needs are just passing things. But the reality is God meets all your needs. Back to Psalms. Psalm 121. A great psalm. Most psalms are great psalms. I don't know of any that aren't great, actually. Psalm 121. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Now, in English, in the King James, that's just a statement. But in the Hebrew, it's phrased more as a question. Because the hills were where the pagan gods and the pagan temples were, and the shrines and all that kind of stuff, and the statues and the all that stuff. So it's in the question, it's in the form of a question. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? Do I look to the pagan gods and the hills for my help? My help cometh from the Lord. My help comes from God, Jehovah, which made heaven and earth. So there's a question there, and then the answer refutes that question and gives us the correct answer. My help comes from God, not from false gods. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. You know, that's kind of cool. Remember Elijah, when he faced the prophets of Baal, and the prophets of Baal built an altar and cut up their sacrifice on it, and they started praying and calling out loud, and then they started yelling and screaming and cutting themselves and jumping around. And then Elijah said, maybe you need to yell louder, maybe he's sleeping. Well, our God never slumbers. He keeps us. The word keep there means he watches over us. He guards us. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee, guards thee, watches over thee, will not slumber. You know, if you're in the Army or the Navy or the Air Force or the Marines or any of those things, and you're on guard duty, you know, you have to do guard duty, and you do it all through the night. If you fall asleep on guard duty, you get in big trouble. You know, you get thrown in jail for that. And if you were in a combat situation, you could get a general court-martial. And if anybody died, you know, they could put you in front of a firing squad. Our God watches over us. He never slumbers. It's a big deal when you're on guard that you don't fall asleep. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. You know, God's not going to slip up. Something's not going to slip by him. God knows better than we do what's going on and what we need and how to help us and what to do for us and what to do. You know, but we need to put our trust in him. We need to look to him. We need to honor him, and we need to keep that word alive in our heart to know these things, so that when you do get slapped in the face or you do get confronted by something, you have something to hold on to. To grasp. Remember, a harbor, a safe harbor in the sea of worry and doubt and speculations. Yeah, a rock. That's what it is. That's what God's word is. Let's go to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verse 12, the last verse of that psalm. It says, O Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts is a, what do they call it? It's an idiom. And the word Lord there is Jehovah, but when he's the Lord of hosts, means he's the Lord or the master over the host. And the host in the Bible can refer to an army, like the host of Egypt, or the host of the Philistines, or the host of this. Or it can mean a large group of people. Or it can mean the stars in the heaven, like the host of heaven, which would refer to the gods and all the things, the false gods that people, other people worshipped. And so when it says the Lord of hosts, it means God's master over all. That he is top dog and everything is subject to him. Doesn't matter how powerful an army or how powerful another false god is or how great a people, you know, it doesn't matter. He's the Lord of hosts. Blessed, happy is the man that trusteth in thee. See, it gives you that great idiom, and then it's as happy as the man that trusteth in thee. Because why would you want to trust in anything else before God? You know, we trust in a lot of things. We do, because that's life. We trust in the chair we're sitting in because we figure it's going to hold us. We trust that we need to eat food because it gives us sustenance, and we need to drink water. And, you know, we trust in a lot of things. We trust the air that we breathe is good air. And, you know, we trust that when we get a green light that other people are going to stop for the red light. But, you know, it's a good thing to look and check because some people run red lights, you see. But we trust in the above anything else and everything else, we trust in the Lord. So before you get in your car and drive off, it's a good thing to thank God for protecting you when you drive away. You know, trust in him. Who else would you rather trust in? Psalm 62. There's so many verses on trusting God. But again, it all comes down to what? Trusting him. Mm-hmm. Relying on him. Having confidence in him. He's a trustworthy God. He's a reliable God. He's a faithful God. He'll never let you down. Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. You know, we should expect that God will say what he says he'll do. We should expect that. He is our expectation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He only. You know, now, if you're dumb and you look at things that happen in your life and you think, well, you know, this person or that person saved me or did this or did that, you know, because God works through people sometimes, doesn't he? Or he works in situations. But, you know, if you're a believer, you have to believe that God is the mover and the originator of all the help and all the saving that you get. Try so hard to teach my kids that, or have taught my kids that, but I still teach them. Every time I talk to them or we talk to them and they have a situation, we try to remind them that God's the one that is the one that really is our help. He's the one that's our strength. He's the one that's our sufficiency. He's the one that brings about the deliverance that we get. You know, Stella's sister stayed overnight with us the other night, Mary, and she had cancer. And so she was going to this doctor at a hospital in New Jersey, a famous hospital, Robert Wood Johnson, I believe. It's supposed to be a great hospital, and it probably is. But she had this doctor, and he said, well, we're going to have to remove all your women's parts and take out everything. And so, you know, that freaked her out, of course, and would have meant that her life would have totally changed in the way she had to take care of herself and live her life. Yeah, she was going to have to wear a colostomy bag and all that stuff. And so, which is not a, you know, if it saves your life, it's great, but it's not an easy way to live. Although I did know a lady that lived 20 years like that or 30 years like that. So then, you know, somebody suggested your niece, right?
No, she just said, you know what, I can't accept this.
Yeah, she said, I can't accept this.
She went to God, and she went online and found the best doctor who specialized in this kind of thing.
Okay, I'll go on. Okay, so she went to this doctor at the University of Pennsylvania. He looked at it. He looked at all her, and there was a lot of things, and we've told you the story before. Looked at a lot of things and said, well, I think that this is treatable, and they treated it with radiation and with chemotherapy. And then she just went back this week for an examination by that same doctor, and he said, you've been clean for 3 years. This will never come back again, you know? But, you know, who's the one that worked in her? And she, because she could have just accepted that and lived a tougher life. She might have survived, but it would have been a heavy-duty surgery and a long recovery, much longer than the radiation and the chemo, which really was very easy. She didn't lose any hair. She didn't get any discomfort. I mean, it was incredible. And, you know, and now she's totally healed. And it's gone. Well, God worked in her, said, go find somebody else. Wow, you know, I attribute that to God. A great thing. Where were we? Okay, he's my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. You know, sometimes you just can't be moved. But you got to allow God to work in your life. You got to allow God to direct. Sometimes people will say, well, I'm not going to a doctor. God's going to heal me. And they die, you know, because maybe God's saying, well, you need to do this or you need to do that. I mean, so if he's going to heal you, he's going to heal you. But if he doesn't heal you and he tells you to do something, then you need to do it. That's all. God can work many ways. There's no one way that God can work. And sometimes he needs to work in other ways because that's our believing. That's our situation, whatever. So, God is my salvation. He only is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. So you just got to lock into God and hold on and, you know, enjoy the ride. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. My refuge is in God. You know what refuge is? It's a safe haven. It's a place of peace. It's a place where we find peace and comfort. It's a refuge. You know, if you get caught in a big storm and you can't travel and you find refuge, right? A safe place. Trust in him. Most of the time. What does it say? All times. All, not sometimes. Not most of the times. Not 99 out of 100. All times. Trust in him at all times. Rely on him. Have confidence in him. Believe him. Trust in him. Lean on him. You know, the word trust has a it's akin to leaning on. It's the word has a meaning where you lean on him. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. What a great verse. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for who?
Us.
You know? If God be for us, who can be against us? Yeah. I mean, he just tells us over and over and over. He tells us all different things. He gives us all kinds of details. He uses all kinds of great words. He uses all kinds of illustrations. But what is it? If God be for us, who can be against us? What a great thing. It's from God's word that we learn God's heart. It's from God's word that we learn his will. His compassion, his love for his children. It is from his word that we learn of the great salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Because in reality, for us, everything is already accomplished. It's an already a done deal. All we have to do is believe it and take it as our own. It is from his word that we learn we are cleansed, made whole, completely complete in Christ. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 30, blah, 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 bum, bum. Huh. Okay, let's see. 37. Okay, 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If God be for us, who can be against us? So in all these things, all the things that it talks about, peril, nakedness, tribulation, distress, persecution, all that stuff. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, outwardly, on the outside, we look like everybody else on the planet Earth. Right? We do. But inwardly, we're totally different. We are spiritual dynamos on the inside. We're special. And we are different. We are not like everybody else that's walking the planet. And that goes for all born-again believers. We're different. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 11, it says, according to the eternal purpose which he, God, purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In whom? In Christ Jesus, we have boldness and access with confidence by the right way of believing of him. We have access with boldness and confidence. To who? To God. What a great thing. Boldness and access, we are absolutely assured. We have confidence. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore means you have to read the verses before. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Throne of grace is where God abides. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know, mercy is getting what you need. God, you know, takes care of us, helps us, brings us deliverance, does whatever he can for us. And we find grace in the time and help in the time of need. You know, we can go before God's throne of grace at any time and we're going to get help. He's there for us. He set it up that way. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. It says in verse 20, now unto him, unto God, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. You know, that is incomprehensible, really. But God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, when it said that he shall supply all our need, and I said he can go beyond our need. Well, that's what this says. He can do whatever he wants according to his word. So if you ask for a car, he could give you any kind of car he wants. If you need a house and you ask for a house, he could give you any kind of house he wants. You ask for oatmeal, he could give you a steak. Figuratively speaking. God can do above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And you know what? It's all to the glory of God. When God takes care of us and blesses us, who gets the glory? He does. When Dave put that thing on Facebook, right? You put it on Facebook?
140-some responses.
Yeah. And who got the glory? God. God gets the glory. See? He wants to bless us. He wants to help us. He wants to watch over us and take care of us. But it's up to us to keep his word in our heart and our mind. And when we're confronted with stuff, when we have to deal with stuff, we have something to hold on to. We have a refuge. His word is our refuge. His word is what keeps us going on the right path. It's his word that tells us what to believe and how to believe it. It's his word that determines, and it's that word that we have to put in our heart and hold fast to. So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and blessing us, for a great fellowship this afternoon, for just being the great God that you are. And we thank you in the wonderful and powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.